I love going back into the Old Testament where after Moses leads the children of Israel out of captivity and then they get their nation sort of under the umbrella of God, God begins by giving them 12 specific festivals and feasts, and he calls them sacred assemblies. They will be celebrated and they are sacred to me, God says. And so I thought about living our sacraments. What does that look like? And particularly in our fellowship, there are some things that we would consider divine, spiritual, and yet very, very physical and connected in every way, not only to God, but to each other. And that is in our baptism, in our communion, and simply belonging to the body of Christ. So I want to begin today by reading a story. And this is a story about a young girl. We don't know her age, maybe 9, 10, 11, 12. It's her story about wanting to be baptized and the response by her father and her mother and the preacher. And I just want to read it to you. This was written by Lee Magnus, who is an amazing man. He's a Greek scholar, just brilliant, but he writes in very poetic, symbolic language. But if you want, just a picture in your mind, these people who will be speaking. The child wanted to be baptized. The father says, I was suspicious that she just wanted to be able to sit at the communion table and share the Lord's Supper, not to be skipped, left out, handed over or around or behind when it came to communion with her family and friends and fellow believers. The mother says, and I was suspicious, having once wanted the same thing for myself, baptism for simply the same reason, taking communion. And the preacher says, I was suspicious, but I was also certain that this young girl certainly had heard the gospel and that she was good at explaining the good news and that she had a sense of sin and yet of salvation, and that she knew what it meant to make a promise, a pledge, and that she loved the Lord, and she loved the Lord's people, and loved being loved by the Lord and the Lord's people. That she knew, at least on the surface, that when she broke the water's surface, both times, she was sharing Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that she had some sense that a new life loomed, a Lord-like life. And then both the parents speak. We were suspicious, but we also thought, what better reason to be baptized? For us to be incorporated into Christ, into his death, and then to share the communion. For Christ to be incorporated into us, body and blood. So a child wanted to be baptized. So we set our suspicions aside and said yes to our certainty. And the preacher said, and we set things in motion. The conversations, the consultations, the searching of scriptures and of hearts. We all set things in motion. The preacher said the date that would become the date of her spiritual birth, the people who would fill the baptistry, warm the water, position the towels, the ones who would greet her and gown her and calm her and conduct her, those who would welcome her all wet and shivery, all wondering at the wonderful thing that had just happened and wondering that in a sense, nothing had happened. Those who would welcome her in a tight, toweled, tussle-haired embrace. There were other considerations. The song of commitment, the walk down the aisle, strangely bride-like to meet her groom. The words of confession, profession, words about Jesus, almost drowned out, as it should be, by the shared profession of the entire congregation. So, a child wanted to be baptized and was. It went as planned, well, with the right words from the preacher and from her. The right level of dignity and warmth as the level of the warm water rose and fell around us, just deep enough, no sputtering, the affirmation of hands and lips. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Hoping she had heard those words from me, said the preacher. With all that water still pooled in her ears and all that wonder in her eyes, it had gone as planned. It went well. And it was now well. In the hands of others. I had done my part, said the preacher, somewhat of a priestly part, ministering to her spiritual needs, administering the ceremony. The parents said we had done our part, the parental part, somewhat of a pastoral part, the shepherding of a young sheep to the quiet waters of salvation. Others, family and friends, would surround her, still damp but smiling, relatives smothering her until she politely wriggled away. Others, elders, would wait for her at the table to share with her the Lord's Supper, the communion that she so craved. Still others, the community of believers, still practicing their partnership, would speak a kind word, relative strangers that they were, relative strangers. I reattired myself, the preacher said, tired after a morning of ministry. I parted my hair that I had left. I did my part and chanced up into the chancel to say hi to the hangers-on. But that's when it happened. That's, the preacher said, when it happened. In all my years, I had never noticed it before, but this is when it happened. I saw them. They were clear as day on the dark blue carpet. There they were, wet footprints. The child had wound her way from the room off the baptistry, clad in fresh clothes, hair only damp, but very wet, bare feet. Across the platform, to the little knot of people encircling the table, the path was plain, darkening every step on that carpet, step after step, from the baptistry to the table, one wet foot after the other. A line of small, wet footprints. I was overwhelmed, leading directly from the water to the bread and the wine. And that's when I saw, as it were, another line of wet footprints, leading from the muddy Jordan to the mount near Jerusalem. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth, for there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. That line of wet footprints led from Jordan to Jerusalem, past Cana and its water turning to wine, through Samaria and its living water, around Galilee and its baskets full of bread. They led through Bethany, wet with Mary's anointing, across the Mount of Olives, wet with Jesus' own tears, up to the upper room where bread and wine became body and blood. They led across the pavement of the Praetorium, all wet and slippery from Jesus' own blood, and up gory Golgotha, where the words slipped through his thirsty throat and lapped over his bloody lips as he said, it is finished. And that's when I look back at the carpet and the wet footprints, wondering if I could see another set, larger, fainter, and bloody. Or wondering if the footprints I saw were someone else's all along, that they weren't the little girl's wet footprints, but they were the wet footprints of Jesus, deep and undeniable, that they have always led from the baptistry to the communion table. Or wondering if I could see a second doubling back on itself, from the river to the upper room to the resurrection, from life to death to new life. And that's when I rushed down through the auditorium and ran out, only to see the taillights of the family van that carried the little girl and her mother and father home, wishing I had catch the child, wishing I had thought to say to her, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Wet steps, bloody steps, from water and the blood that we live out in our life every single day. So that's the start of what I hope to be a preaching series on, living out our sacraments because Christ lives in us. Thank you.